they were badly not competitive. Like, it, nothing was clicking. And I just went, this isn't, doesn't bode well at all. And I'm not saying, I'll say it like this, they didn't play their best game.
Oh.
There's no way. But I said it all year, Georgia wasn't going to lose a game this year. And when they lost Alabama, I was surprised. So I was like, oh, they're vulnerable. Okay. Well, it doesn't mean they're not still a really good team. So, I mean, they showed, like, okay, as good as Michigan did, that, you know, they got up more for it than Michigan did. Michigan didn't play their best game. And then you're playing a team that's probably got, what, 37, 47 first or second round picks you're playing. So it's like you're not going to beat that without your absolute best effort and then luck. So,
yeah, Georgia pulls in some crazy recruits.
Yeah.
Because I guess I didn't realize, because I didn't really see the number in passing, but they were just saying that the number, you know, I know that the star system probably isn't everything for recruiting, but I do remember, like, Michigan having, like, a third of the five-star recruits or something like that. Compared to Georgia.
Yes, because Georgia's been doing really well. So, you know, Michigan, little secret, they hadn't been doing all that well. So, you know.
Right.
Yeah, so it sucks. But, I mean, I'm going to complain. They trounced Ohio State for the most part.
Oh, yeah.
They should have beat Michigan State. That's still annoying. And then won the Big Ten. So... And it saved me money not going to Indianapolis. Because I was dead set on going.
Uh-oh. Like,
drive or not, I was going. So.
Yeah, because you know. What? Yeah, it'd be like... I don't know if there's a better way to get there. Because what? Is that probably about 10 hours or something for you?
I think it's 9. With the time change, it's 9. So I don't know if that means 8 or still 9.
No, I think that's 10 then.
Alright.
Because I have a similar sitch happening when I hit Chicago.
Okay. But yeah, so I was like, I was disappointed. Honestly, it freed up New Year's Eve. We left in the middle of the third, like, alright, let's go. Because our friends kept bugging us. Hey, the game's over. Just come over here. Like, alright, fine. So.
Yes, I could definitely see that happening. Like I said, like I was just like, oh man, this is not good. Like
it really wasn't.
You know, like we were just kind of out on that one.
Yeah, it. Again, man, it's like how do you get mad? A team that wasn't even ranked. Everyone. Left you for dead, basically. So, yeah.
Yeah, a two-loss season, and one of those losses being to a possible still national champion. You know, despite them losing to Alabama in the SEC championship game, we could get something different here.
Yeah, exactly. So, we'll see. I'll watch some of it. But, like, it has, like, no assistant has beaten Nick Saban, though. Right?
I
think that's how it goes. So.
I guess I'm not surprised. I mean, it's been obviously pretty wild that, what'd they say, it's been 8? Because this is the 10th year for the championship, and Alabama's been involved in the championship 8 of the 10 times?
That can't be right, can it?
LSU, I didn't...
LSU and Clemson played, right?
Yeah.
And LSU ran them. Ohio State played somebody.
Ohio State beat Alabama the first year.
Wow, that's pretty nuts, and I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so I do think that maybe that... Because I thought that's the stat that I heard.
Because 1 year was... Auburn and Oregon, right?
Yeah, well, and I want to say that there's a year that Georgia was in and not Alabama also.
Okay. Well, that's pretty crazy then. I didn't know that.
But yeah, that's, yeah. So, yeah, if he hasn't had an assistant beat him, I would not be surprised if that is also a real statistic.
Yeah, because they always bring that up, like, around the time whenever, you know, it's, like, the game time or whatever, and they're always like, is this the year, like, one of his assistants finally beats him? And it's like, God damn, really? So...
Yeah, I guess whatever. I didn't realize that Kirby Smart was one of his assistants at some juncture either, though.
Yeah, he's a D coordinator.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I... Yeah, I still don't pay as much mind to college football as I do the NFL, so...
Yeah. Well, it's hilarious right now. And again, I'm not saying anything's, like, it's impossible. My favorite story going around now is Harbaugh leaving for the NFL.
Oh.
Because if you see the headlines, they all say Harbaugh tempted to leave for the NFL. Harbaugh interested in the NFL. I'm like, okay. So I traced it back to the original source, The Athletic. Because all of these stories say, well, according to The Athletic, I'm like, all right, I'll go right to that story. The story says that there are whispers that Jim Harbaugh could be tempted to go to the NFL. That somehow equates to he's leaving for the NFL. Like, holy shit. It's no wonder he can't get a decent recruiting class. Holy shit.
Yeah, I mean...
out the ring?
As much as the coaches do bounce around, you know what? He just got a new contract.
They're renegotiating it already.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah. I didn't even look at it. I saw the headline on Yahoo Sports or something, and I'm just like, whatever, guys. Like, get out of here.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, but that's how it works. Like, all they have to do is create a story, and everyone else picks up on it. It's like, this. You're not even doing your own like. Reporting or investigating. Hey, I read out at The Athletic that they're doing this. Like, wait a second. That's not journalism. But, whatever.
Yeah.
So,
headlines suck. The content of the article is usually about 90% different than whatever the headline is.
Yeah. So, and that, you know. Trying to see, I heard a rumor before, like, we get into the rest stuff. I heard a rumor that there were layoffs for WWE again.
Yes, I just saw those, and I have some of them pulled up.
Have you seen any of them?
I'm on .net, prowrestling.net. But it is Fightful.com that is reporting the cuts. Timothy Thatcher, Danny Burch, George Carroll Jr., Kathy Carino, and Hideki Suzuki, a.k.a. Hachiman. That was along with... who were the... I know that William Regal... was in the other set of cuts.
Wait, what?
Yes.
How the hell is this not the first fucking story on R Squared Circle? Or did I just totally miss it? Like,
yeah. So William Regal, because I was wondering, like, I saw some William Regal stuff on Twitter just before there coming on, and I was a little bit confused. And then when I came to pull up the reports to do the show, I was just like, what? Talent cuts? It, like, runs across the headline. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I was like, I guess it's a perfect time to record a show.
Did you? Okay, I found it.
And I forgot that Road Dogg was there too, yeah.
William Regal, Scott Armstrong. So they got rid of both Armstrong brothers. Hatchet Man. Timothy Thatcher, I figured something was going on, because he's been healthy. I thought he was just coaching. Danny Burch, okay. That's still bad, but okay. Allison Danger, who was a coach. I don't know who Sarah Cummins is.
Yeah, there were a couple of the names.
Senior Vice President, Consumer Products. Okay. George Carroll, he must be front office. Imagine, you know what? I was actually going to talk positively about WWE this week. Well, it's a 50-50 shot. Now, imagine getting rid of the wealth of knowledge, talent, skill, whatever, and William Regal. Just unless he requested it, imagine that.
Yeah, like, I don't see him being anything other than, you know, A, if you wanted him to be a manager, you could do that, but those are still seldom used in the WWE. I mean, obviously, Paul Heyman is a gigantic exception, but it's also because he's really, really good on the microphone. I would think that you could at least renegotiate with Regal to have him as a coach.
He was also a scout. I think he was one of their top scouts.
Oh.
So, just... I'm at a loss for words on this. Like, okay, and it's no disrespect to anybody else. Road Dogg, okay. You know, he is a creative guy. He was help running the shows with Shawn Michaels at the time.
Oh, right.
Ace Steele, I believe, was a trainer. So, like, they're getting rid of training staff as well, which, okay. Like, Hatchet Man, I mean, he never did anything. And I'm not even being rude.
Very
noticeably, Malcolm Bivens was telling him, hey, cheer. Like, off, you saw it off in the corner. Like, he was standing. So.
No, I did not see that full match. That was a YouTube match for me because of my shitty DVR. So I did not, I did not see that. That's hilarious.
Yeah, it was. Malcolm Bivens is so great that he would be wasted on the main roster because they don't like managers. He's so great. Just the best. So,
yeah, he's a lot of fun. He's I knew people that were really hyped about him signing for the WWE, but I've got to admit I didn't really see too much of his indie stuff, and I don't think he was in ROH, or was it such a short run that it didn't amount to much?
Probably didn't amount to much.
It was one of the two before he went there. So yeah, I wasn't too familiar with his work. It did seem like a lot of our friends were really excited about him signing with the WWE. And whoo, man, they took a while to really let him get rolling. But this is outside of Paul Heyman, he's been doing some great work.
Yeah. I'm really dumbfounded on this. But everybody else, and this is obviously when I'm getting fired, but, like, sheer magnitude, Road Dogg and William Regal, I mean, like, Orny Lorcan got released last time, correct?
It's been a little while since Oni got released.
And this is going to sound really rude, but how bizarre is it Danny Burch was still there? Like, wait, what? Like, no offense, the guy that was always getting hurt was still there, but the guy who's healthy is, like...
Since they do silly stuff like, hey, we're going to make you play out your... We're going to tack on time to your contract if you got injured, I wouldn't be surprised if Danny Burch stuck around for an extra couple of months because they still had to pay him, and they're just like, okay... Now we're getting rid of you officially. Like, it could actually have to do with an injury and being fired too soon after. So, I'm not completely sure. But, none of the wrestlers were all that surprising on the list there. But it is just kind of funny. Chris, well, there weren't too many women on the list, but I mean, Chris and I were talking earlier this week about just how little they have. Like, think we did a body count and we didn't even come up with 20 women on the main roster.
I actually was thinking this last night when I wanted to bring it up to you. Like, Toni Storm's gone. Alexa Bliss is coming back, okay?
Yep.
But remember the Women's Evolution? I guess Bayley's still hanging out there somewhere. I'm guessing Royal Rumble. But the Women's Evolution literally is Charlotte, Becky, Sasha, and Bayley. And then there's everybody else.
Oh.
You know, like, we got sold that bill of goods. It's going to be different. Okay. No, it's only different for them. Everybody else is expendable. And that sucks.
Well, we've kind of talked about it a lot in more of the abstract, but they almost still don't really have a B story for the women.
The only one I can think of is Rhea Ripley and Nikki A.S.H.
Yeah, so that Queen Zelina and Carmella can have something to do.
Yeah, but that's really... Because where's Shayna Baszler? I haven't watched SmackDown too much, so... If she's on every week, cool.
I felt like she came back, but now I don't feel like I've seen her in a couple of weeks. So, she's around, but not getting used much. But she's also part of the 20-person body count that they have on the entire... Because we couldn't believe that they're already... In that 20-woman body count, Beth Phoenix and Maryse were on that list.
Wow. Yeah, because I know, like, Shotzi... Although Tegan Nox is gone.
Yes.
But Shotzi's still around, supposedly.
Oh. Yeah, she's on Instagram, at least.
Yeah, so, I was... Because the reason I was thinking this is I was watching... You know, watching NXT last night, and Toxic Attraction wasn't on, but Mandy Rose was. Raquel Gonzalez and the other girl. And I say that because who the hell is she? Like, why is she in this thing? Why is she on TV? And at least they did have it where she's the one that got pinned. But then they had the girl sleeping in the back. Indy Hartwell and her friend, I can never remember her name.
Persia Parata.
Okay. Alexa Lopez, right?
Elektra, I believe.
Oh, yes, yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, Elektra Lopez. Because Candice is pregnant and gone. Io Shirai somewhere, Zoe Stark. But it's like, everybody you knew for the women is pretty much gone. Because, like, Ember Moon just announced, like, her first date back or her future as Athena again. Tegan Nox, I don't know. I'm hoping that poor woman retired because those poor knees just aren't going to take it. It'd be nice if she'd be able to walk. But it's like all those people, they're just gone.
Yeah.
Like Dakota Kai, I'd be looking over. I wouldn't be answering my phone.
Their depth went bye-bye in... Yeah. Like, it was something that, obviously, I knew that they've been having all these cuts, but I hadn't completely done the math on how, you know, it, because, you know, other recent cuts, like, because, like, I couldn't believe just how much, like you said, Toni Storm, like, I'm like, man, that really fucks a lot of plans up.
She wanted out, though, so, you know, God bless her. It's like, that was her choice. She's like, I quit, I'm gone. Alright, you're released. And she's been a weird story anyways. Remember, she was, like, gone for a while, like, homeless or whatever, and then comes back, they bring up to the main roster, does nothing, and you're like, okay, this is just bizarre booking of her. Then she comes up and gone already. So, well, I didn't get what I wanted, so...
No, and that's really tough, man. Like, because even the people, like, Electra Lopez still seems like she needs some time before they're even going to be, you know, like if she's going to be in a conversation with Charlotte or, you know, Becky Lynch or Bayley or even Sasha, you know, like she's got some ground to cover before she gets there. Like Dakota Kai is one of the few women that they could throw her on the main roster and she'd be fine, but yeah. I'm just concerned that they wouldn't use her properly on the main roster.
Now, on a side note to it, if you're Triple H, what are you doing? I mean, that's serious. And I know he's probably still recovering from his heart ailment, whatever, but. And there's been, like, video of him on, like, with WWE guys walking around. But what can you possibly be thinking? Everything you built is dead. I mean, dead. Look at most of the releases were NXT guys. Whether they were on the main roster or not.
Oh.
They were NXT. They were his NXT people. And the NXT people they didn't fire are like, peace. Like, no, we have nothing to do with you guys. I mean, you're in a position where everything you're doing that you built, that like, this was all your baby, your idea, and your father-in-law is the one destroying it. That you work for, and that you are still supposedly, I'm guessing, happily married to his daughter. What the hell do you do?
Gotta be a weird situation.
I mean, holy hell.
You know, I guess the earnings report makes things cool? Question mark at the end of that? So, yeah, I don't know what you're thinking. Like, that's probably why it's taking him so long to recover.
Yeah, I mean, how do you even go back? Because doesn't this, like, this is business, I understand. NXT was a profitable little side offshoot that was, like, in the eyes of many, giving his father-in-law, who runs the main part of this, ready-made gimmicks and talent, only to turn around and go, no, and either totally trash it or just throw them away. And then he goes, no, everything you're doing I'm getting rid of, and it's like, you're stuck. I guess you could quit. I mean, Shane did, but God, what a strain I would assume would put on a marriage. Or some weird, you know, weird family interactions. I mean, but it's like a sense of pride. Like, you've been betrayed. You were given this opportunity. You were killing it. And then taken away. Like, you get sick, and all of a sudden, let's just get rid of everything he's done while he's gone.
Well, I think that was well underway before his ailment.
I wish I would have looked that up, but I think you're wrong.
These cuts have been ongoing for, like, the better part of the pandemic, honestly.
Yeah, it's been, I think, 2 years, almost a year and a half. There's over 100 people. And yeah. The majority are from the NXT stuff. Now,
yeah, so Triple H didn't have his problem until, like, 6 months ago or something like that. So they started making cuts a solid year before he started, had his issue.
At the beginning, it was a lot of, like, main roster. I mean, like, Braun, Bray Wyatt. I guess Bray was a little bit later.
Still an NXT guy, though.
Yeah, Bray for sure. Well, all right.
Not Braun so much.
Only had, like, what, two matches, he said? So.
Yeah, it was pretty. Braun appeared, but I wouldn't really call him an NXT guy.
Oh, no, not at all.
Bray spent enough time down there, even though obviously it was a different character that was on the main roster there. He's at least built in NXT.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that was a... I mean, now they're kind of redoing it with Joe Gacy.
Which,
by the way, last night was the only night I really didn't care for his promo. It seemed so odd and forced. And that Harlan guy, I know he's... I think he was like a collegiate football player or something.
Uh-huh.
I think. Well, damn, that... He's really playing into that gimmick pretty well, so.
yes, he is. For giving off the bad vibes, he has definitely surpassed Dexter Lumis, who's too babyface to have that much of a vacant look.
I hate saying things like this, but. Looking at this list of people, I'm very surprised his name's not on there and LA Knight's not on this.
Oh.
Because LA Knight's gone. Like, where'd he go? Grayson Waller beat him up, took his car?
Oh, yeah. And... I would not. He is definitely still on my list of you probably shouldn't answer your phone.
I think there's a bunch of NXT guys. If I'm Tommaso Ciampa, I don't know if I'm answering that phone either.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, that was pretty... That was... And I did get to watch that full match with Bron Breakker and Tommaso Ciampa.
Yeah. And good stuff.
It's crazy how... Occasionally, you're like, oh, the WWE actually builds people properly. Like, they actually carried through on something for a change.
And the thing I liked about the match last night was, it really was, to me, I didn't know who was going to win that match. Because, and we discussed, he didn't need the NXT title. You know, and especially with the Royal Rumble coming up, the guy, like, he's not ready for the main roster. That's evident. Like, Ciampa really carried him and helped him in that match because there were still some, you know, his mess-ups and all that stuff. It can be forgiven, whatever else. Because he's been doing this, what, 6 months?
Not very long, yes.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, it's excusable. So that was all part of it. Like, okay, maybe they know he's not ready yet, but here we go anyways. So, okay. And I like the NXT show to, like, kind of wrap it and, like, turn it into this.
Oh, yeah.
But it's so, like, heavy-handed. Like, Carmelo Hayes beats Roderick Strong. Mandy Rose beats Cora Jade. Okay, well, Cora Jade's not the old guard, but Raquel Gonzalez is.
Oh.
MSK beating Imperium, I was kind of like, okay. Well, I mean, in the six man.
Yeah, you can't have Matt Riddle lose in a match in NXT.
No, and I. Well, I'll get to that in a second, but no, you're right. what else was on that show? I forget. No, AJ and Grayson Waller.
Yes.
Which is fine. Joe Gacy talk. They have the Dusty Cup again. Okay.
Yeah, I'm scrolling through.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was pretty heavy on the match side of things.
Yeah.
Like, because yeah, the New Year's Evil. I was like, wasn't this where they first kind of introduced Dexter Lumis doing art? Didn't he do the little devil that they're still using now for NXT?
He did Halloween Havoc as well, didn't he?
I think so. He might have, yeah.
Yeah, it was like... Because I know Shotzi was the host for Halloween Havoc. Last year. God damn, that was last year, wasn't it?
Shotzi's year was the previous year hosting.
Okay, all right. Well.
Yeah, that was, 20. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So. Yeah,
2020.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know what the hell we were talking about. I got totally lost in trying to figure out who was doing what.
Braun Breaker still kind of... I mean, we were talking about how, all the cuts and how Triple H is feeling and all that stuff, but still I guess I'm glad that, again, to kind of reiterate, I guess I am coming around to the NXT product now. But, it's still got to be hard to see your baby get destroyed.
Yeah. I'm not sure if I'm coming around on it yet. I thought last night's show was good, but it was a lot of wrestling, too. And for people, I didn't think for 1 second Roderick Strong was going to win. I don't know why he re-signed in July or whatever. That doesn't make any sense to me. Unless he's going to be a trainer, but even then, you're not safe. They let your wife go, for God's sake, and then you re-signed. Maybe it was before, but so Carmelo Hayes, which was funny, Roderick was taller than he was, That surprised me. Roderick's not a tall guy. I think he's like 5'9". So, oh boy, okay. And then the women, it just seems like I thought if Raquel would have gotten pinned, she's gone, which she probably should be.
Oh,
to get her out of NXT, like.
Yes.
You know.
She is done enough for being on the main roster.
Yeah. And then
I know that she hasn't been wrestling a terribly long time, but she's still going to be the big brute, and they don't really... I mean, I guess Doudrop is that currently in Tamina, but, I mean, yeesh. Neither...
I'd rather forget about anything Tamina's in right now. That... I don't want to go to Raw. Let's see what NXT right now, but I hated that whole thing. And the crowd did too, so that was nice. But, now, my thing is, and even Shawn Michaels, I read an interview he did about how people have kind of turned on NXT, is that he even said, I was like, we understand. It's like, all of a sudden, everyone you like is gone. And all these new faces, and it wasn't gradual. I mean, it was...
Oh.
Day one, all these new people right in your face. Like, whoa, what? Like, well, where are all the people I like? And like, oh, well, they're still here, but they're not as good as these new people. Like, that's the overall feeling I get is, hey, remember everyone you like? They're not as good as people were showing. So, I don't know. So it just rubs me wrong when I'm trying to watch it.
I mean, they are definitely, they went a way different direction.
Yeah, it, like,
in a hurry, introduce quickly, people,
and
like
let
said.
The crowd determine whether they're important or not. Not, you just yell and scream, they're important.
Yeah, well, if you want to do that, and again, to go back to Breaker winning, do it, build a guy up and have him win, I don't know how a guy or a gal, because they have done a pretty good job with Cora Jade, honestly. I didn't expect her to win that match at all with Mandy Rose and Raquel there, but, having her gut out have the biggest high spot in War Games, and then gut out the official win is a nice way. And then, didn't she get a singles win over Mandy at some point? I know that there was some shenanigans that went on to have that happen.
Wasn't that when Toxic Attraction was created? Because, Gigi and JC said, are you going to listen to us? Or something like that after. It was a while ago.
Well, I mean, Cora Jade's only been around, what, since War Games or something like that?
No, she was wrong before. She was a spot, she would pull off upsets. Remember, she beat Dakota Kai. She beat Gigi Dolin, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, Toxic Attraction didn't really come into their own until No, cut him at War Games. The one before it, because they have all the women's titles.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So, anyways. But no, that's what I'm having a hard time with. And I will admit, it affects my enjoyment of the show. I will say one thing. One guy who kind of sort of won me over last night was Von Wagner. That hair is insane. And that's why. That's literally the only reason why. Like, that shit. He looked like an 80s rock star. It was fantastic.
I mean, that was a very 80s angle beat up half the crowd.
Yeah. Yes.
Of stunt grannies.
Now, the one I thought was a plant was when Grayson Waller came out. And there's that guy standing there. He goes, "You can obviously know this guy hasn't been in the gym." And the guy's like doing the worst acting ever. But I think he was actually a fan.
Oh.
Like, oof. Okay, buddy.
Another victim of a YouTube watch. I did not see that part of the entrance.
Waller comes out talking about how he's in AJ's head and this and this and this and all that stuff. And this guy's just standing there, and he's getting out of his seat. So maybe it was a plan, because the guy's acting was so bad that you're like, oh, this is like one of the Office guys. Like, hey, you want to be on TV? But yeah, but no, it's, I don't know. It still gets into the disheartening part, and I keep refreshing this releases thing to see if anyone else gets added, but that's usually it for now, because usually, isn't it, the next day there's a few more?
Oh, it's been so all over the place. I mean, I honestly thought that they were probably closing in on being done. But evidently that's not the case. I guess the numbers weren't good enough. They need to have more profit and a lot more people got the axe.
Yeah. I guess, I'm not sure who Lenny Leonard is, but there's a whole thing about him talking about Alice in Danger. They moved her, like, she was only there 3 months. They moved her cross country. Like a kid and everything. And they just fired her. Jesus Christ. It's funny, everyone's coming out saying, talking about William Regal. So, like, everybody's like, this is really, really dumb. So,
Yeah, again, I would think that you'd be able to renegotiate and come up with a suitable sum to keep him around in some capacity or another.
I'm done with the crowd shots of people singing Jericho's song. Anyways, but although if he's there Saturday, I'll probably sing right along with everybody, but I'm not going to be like mugging for like everyone does. Anyways, but yeah, so the positive part of WWE, which is getting harder and harder to do, I watched that. I didn't watch all of day one. Why would you? But
I did on day two.
That main event was awesome. I've never seen a fatal five way that goes 9 minutes and left me feeling that was great. Like, no one seemed to get shortchanged. Everyone got stuff in. It was exciting the whole time. You got some stuff that you always wanted to see with Lashley and Lesnar. Like, finally. And Lesnar sold for him, too, which I was like, holy shit. So, yeah, I was shocked that Lesnar won, but that was some fun stuff, man. I don't know. Did you see that?
Yeah. I did watch the whole event. I just watched it the next day because I was watching football on New Year's Day, so whatever. The main event, I guess I had forgotten how short it was. Just because, like you said, like, it was great. Like, you know, it was, the way you described it was perfect. Like, everyone was involved. Yeah, you got some Lashley Lesnar stuff without giving too much away. Because what? Paul Heyman even referenced that on Raw on Monday, I believe. Because he got speared, but Bobby Lashley avoided getting F5.
And he actually had the Hurt Lock on as well.
Yeah.
So, I was like, yeah, he pointed all that stuff out. I was like, oh, wow. I don't know what any of the original plans were, but Roman getting COVID kind of made this thing a little more fun. Like, it just seemed like it was gonna be destined again. Roman and Brock at WrestleMania. Now, I mean, it still could be, but at least the road getting there is going to be a little bit different, I suppose.
Because my mindset when I talked to Chris about it, when that happened, I'm like, oh, are they going to unify the belts?
That was my first thought, and I thought, good, they should. They absolutely should. And then unify the women's titles while we're at it. And I think you can keep the tag team one separate.
Oh. They're still not going to have a good enough tag division to bother with two sets of belts. But yeah, I do think that it would really help for them to unify the championships.
Dude, on a total aside, and I'm sorry to do this, but Ever Rise was great in NXT. They get released because they're stupid. They immediately go to AEW, where they're in the ring with Sting, Moxley, Eddie Kingston, Darby Allin, and now they're interacting with Chris Jericho. They went from goober losers in NXT to losers on AEW, but with huge stars. Like, that's probably the greatest release ever. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, they've barely changed their gimmick.
It's gotten worse.
And it's still hilarious. So all credit to them. But yeah, like, this is one where, as much as Vince pushes the entertainment sometimes, I'm like, why didn't you see the value in these guys? Like,
yeah.
These two are kind of like, yeah, I mean, Ron Killing still has a job. Like, he is there for entertainment.
Yes. And these guys, that's all they're there for.
Yeah.
Is to be antagonists who lose, but they're so annoying, they're kind of fun that you want to see them again. But you know they're going to lose anyway, so it's like, okay. But no, it's like, what a phoenix rising, I guess. Like, your career burns out, and then you're in the ring with legends. That's crazy. So, anyways, good for them. So.
Yeah, that's awesome for them. Ooh. Like, they
just got caught a shot to the nuts. Ouch. Okay, here's one other thing on the AEW side when we're watching. That ramp running down is so goddamn awkward for people. They just had Santana Ortiz and Eddie Kingston running down the ring. Santana and, I think it was Santana, kind of, I don't know who was second in line. Anyways, and Eddie Kingston, no one looked comfortable running down the ramp. I was like, please don't fall over, please don't fall over, please don't fall over. Like, all right, there we go.
Yeah, because they are in the smaller arenas, oh my god, I just saw it. That's hilarious.
You know what I mean? Doesn't it look awkward?
Yes, I think it's at a weird angle.
I also saw Jake Atlas is back.
And I do think it's because they're in the smaller arenas. You know, like, I think they need to lower their stage.
Yeah, I'm with you. But,
that was really awkward. That was hilarious.
It's just so weird. So it's like a gradual ramp is better. But Anyways, so something I want to point out. But yeah, but no, but it's like, so WWE, you gave us Lashley, you're giving us Lashley and Lesnar, that's awesome. With a few weeks built, so it's not like next week's Lashley and Lesnar. I'm like, all right. I still think it could have been a WrestleMania match. Because Lashley's awesome.
And oh, yeah, that's the only thing that I was bummed about on Monday. And I would have been bummed if Big E had won that match, too, honestly. Because it definitely seems like there's two options. You can go the unification route, or you can go with the Paul Heyman / Roman Reigns screws Brock Lesnar out of the championship at the Royal Rumble, too. So, the opponent could be in good shape, possibly, to pick up the championship at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, but maybe they don't.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
So that's why there's actual intrigue now, which we haven't had in forever, which means I've got no clue who's going to win the Royal Rumble, because there's no, like, one legit guy, you know?
Oh.
Or woman, for that reason, if they're going to do a woman's one. I mean, well, no, you said there are 20 women, right?
Yeah. And
there'll be 18. You got to take the champions out of it.
Yep, and that leaves a lot of spots to be filled by Stars of the Past.
Or they just do 20.
Did
you count Asuka in there?
Yes.
Okay, so surprises, you could have Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai. There's 20.
Yeah, you could just do 20 in the women's if you wanted to.
Yeah, but so I enjoyed that. I really enjoyed that. Like, okay, giving us something we want, adds to intrigue of other storylines, because like I told you, you can still have, like, even if we had Big E and Lashley at WrestleMania, I think that's a big enough match. I dare I say Big E and Lesnar.
And I mean, that's another one that Lashley didn't interact with Lesnar that much. I know that Big E took the pin, so you can always play the redemption angle. If Big E goes after Lesnar again.
Yep.
And, I mean, the way Paul Heyman sold Big E, honestly, on the mic. Because he's like, oh, we're not going to say anything bad about Big E. We like Big E. He's everything that a champion should represent, or something like that. I mean, Paul Heyman sold the shit out of Big E.
Yeah, except the win as a champion. So, you know, whatever.
that would have been nice for him to get a win as champion.
Yeah, but no, it was, I was very surprised by that. And I know it's supposed to be like a new Lesnar, that's why. So it's all right, cool. But yeah, I mean, he sold Big E like crazy. And then Lashley, he sold pretty well. Owens and Seth, okay. I mean, he's already been in there with Seth. Owens, I don't think, though, right?
He said something. Well, he talked about them being a team. And it seems like they're going to be a team moving forward. That was another one that Chris and I are like, oh, who takes on Riddle and Orton next? Seth and Kevin seem like a logical choice in that department.
Because
they're not going to be in the main event storylines for WrestleMania this year.
Now, so far, I mean, supposedly Seth Rollins was supposed to beat Big E at day one.
I guess the report... conflicting reports, because I thought I had seen that Big E was supposed to retain until Lesnar got involved in the matchup.
Well, you know what? That's why it's always crap. I read one thing, you read another, and both of them are right. You're like, okay, cool, whatever.
I mean, they could have considered both of them at any time.
Yeah, but no, it's... So there's that. Like, it's always weird for me when two main event guys form a tag team because there's nothing else to do. That's how it always comes off to me. You know, the Mega Powers never went after a tag team championship. That I remember. Well, no, I guess Nikita Koloff and Dusty Rhodes did go right way back. Remember the superpowers?
Was that the WWF?
No, that was. I mean, that was Mid-South, not Mid-South. NWA, Crockett, that stuff.
Okay.
I was trying to think of main eventers that formed a tag team, like a real team, instead of like, you know, where they force the two headliners to go against each other, force them to team. They win the tag titles and they just hate it. That sort of thing. That sort of deal.
Right, but that, I mean, that's about all they've been. They either hate each other or it is these marriages of convenience.
Yeah. But they make it work. Like, there's no, like, Owens was the one that was like, wait a minute, that sounds like a good plan, right? But he's usually the confident one. Like, he's always been the schemer.
Oh.
Like, you know, the backstabber. Now he's dealing with someone that's just like him, which puts doubt in. I was like, that's pretty clever, actually. I like that. And Seth is great. This goofy Seth freaking Rollins guy is the best. He is annoying. And it just grew on me. I'm like, he comes out doing his goofy walk and always doing his dumbass laugh. And you're like, oh, okay. There's a guy that's really bought into this and he's having fun with it. So, and yeah. It shows. And I think that was one of the things on Raw I enjoyed. And I'm sure someone will say, well, what about this? But the promos didn't seem forced. Biggie's didn't seem forced. You know, Heyman's awesome always. Owens and Rollins seem good. It's like, I don't know. No, like, even like Lashley's, you know, Lesnar fears Lashley, whatever. I kind of like that just because it's...
you got to have that attitude.
And also, on Lashley real quick, he's got to be one of the better wrestlers that we've seen in a while. Because I watched that Stone Cold Steve Austin, like the Broken Skull sessions with Bobby Lashley.
Uh-huh.
He shocked me with his demeanor, how he spoke, all that stuff. Because I think that was also the first time I've ever really seen him not as Bobby Lashley.
Oh.
You know, he wasn't the character. He was himself, and I went, wow. He's really good at this. Like, he's good in the ring, but I guess the character work I didn't get until I saw that. And then, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that has been his problem in the WWE. Like, you know, he was involved in plenty of big matches, but he could never seem to get the character rolling for whatever reason.
Well, they wouldn't just let him be a badass. You know?
Yeah, the story of so many people's careers.
Yeah. Just let him be. And that, remember when he came in, it was like, oh, here we go. Impact Bobby Lashley is here. This is going to be great.
And we had to wait like three years for Impact Bobby Lashley to show up in the WWE.
Yeah. It's like about time. So, I mean, it's not his fault, obviously, but... Oh, cool, she's dressed as Storm. That's cool. Jade Cargill is 22-0. When? She's had 20 matches on AEW Dark or Elevation?
Yes.
Like, wait a minute, what did I miss?
Because she's at least had two on TV. On Dynamite. Because, yeah, she had to win both of the matches in the tournament here on actual, either Dynamite or Rampage.
Yeah.
So there's at least two matches, and then I want to say she's had two matches against Red Velvet on TV, like on main TV situation, so... Yeah, I think she's had about four of her matches out of that 22 on...
That was shocking to see, 22-0.
So. Actual TV.
And also, whoever did her eyebrows needs to be smacked in the face. So, one, like, goes up in the air, the other one goes, like, straight. So, anyways. But, yeah. It was just broke my concentration. So, I don't know. That's
bad. And, yeah, this is a match that, honestly, like, yeah, Ruby Riott needs to end the streak here of Jade Cargill.
Yeah, I'm with you.
She Cargill is she already has the visual package. But she maybe hasn't taken to the in-ring stuff as much as is some other top-tier athletes. For me,
she's had 22 matches in her career, so I think that's actually accurate. If that's the case, then because you know, I think she's a product of what was it Nightmare Factory? Yeah, Cody Rhodes thing. I believe so.
Oh, okay.
So she's like a creation from there, which, you know, I'm not back special on that. I'm saying 22 matches, so. But
not everyone's going to be hitting it out of the ballpark in their first 22 matches.
No, that's fine. It shouldn't.
Right.
It's Braun, fucking Rex Steiner. I don't care. Okay, I hate to go backwards like this, but after NXT, fucking Rick Steiner shows up. Gives his son a hug. Oh, I know this because WWE promoted it like crazy. Then call him fucking Rex Steiner. Why do we keep doing this? He has to give his boring, like, stated answers. I want to create my own path. Shut up.
Well, and not only that, like, if you want to, you could call it a crutch. You know, like, people, and I know that it hasn't happened to Randy Orton in a long time, but there was always the, hey, you only got in here because your dad card, but because he's been there, like, 35 years, no one can say that anymore.
Yeah.
So it does kind of get them out of that card, but honestly, as much as I loved the Steiners and I loved Rick Steiner as a child, he isn't... Well, of course, I mean, I guess Bob Orton is kind of a good comparative in some ways. Like, I guess I'm trying to talk myself into Rick Steiner's level of relevancy. You know, like, he isn't kind of one of the big time... Like, he's kind of a big deal, but on his own, Scott's better known.
Yeah, and that was a funny thing for me when, like, he became Big Papa Pump. Because Rick Steiner was one of me, obviously the Michigan Jacket, but Rick Steiner, when he started, just as a kid, I was like, oh my god, this guy's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And it just totally caught my imagination, the whole thing with woman, all this stuff, and then all of a sudden... His younger brother shows up. And it was like, wait, there's two of these guys? But I was always the Rick Steiner guy. And then Scott, yeah, Scott is definitely the more well-known of the two. I mean, I don't think there's any way around that, because Rick never got, outside of a little bit, he never got a big, like, singles push. But Scott sure as hell did. So...
Yeah, honestly spent the good back half of his career as a singles wrestler.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, as long as he ended up going, I wouldn't be surprised if he spent more time as a singles wrestler than as a tag wrestler.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that. That sounds absolutely accurate. So, but no, it's just stuff like that. I don't like... little details like that.
I mean, I do think that occasionally the WWE does use those kind of you're here because your daddy, and I guess that was even the case with Charlotte.
Yes.
You know, it can be a little bit of a crutch, but I guess that's why I was kind of heading towards Rick Steiner's relevancy. It's just like, can you really play that card if you call him Rex Steiner? You know what I mean? He's not one of those guys where you're like, oh yeah, I know that he has a lot of pool. You know, it's just like, no, get out of here. Especially in the WWE, since he was mainly... Was he ever in the W... Oh, yeah, they were in the WWF for a little bit, weren't they?
Oh, yeah, Steiner Brothers for sure. And then Scott came back on his own.
Okay, yeah.
He had... Remember, that was that Royal Rumble in Boston where they had Triple H and Scott Steiner, I think, tried to follow, if I remember right. Kurt Angle and Chris Benoit.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, and it was rough. So,
yeah, that's not being put in a good position.
No, it was never going to work. So, but that was at the height of remember Chubby Triple H.
Oh yes,
with the bicycle shorts on, whatever else. So, you know, you weren't getting quality out of him back then. That's how it worked. So, but yeah, with WWE, at least Raw. SmackDown's always a hard one for me. I record it and just forget about it. But we'll see. We'll see if they can keep this up. But also, isn't this always the time of year where they make things interesting?
Yeah. We could have this podcast about that. Like, I mean, I don't know how many years at this point we've been talking about WrestleMania season. For whatever reason, it seems like everyone seems to give a shit more in the WWE. And it's just like, I know you can't hit it out of the park all 100 times or all 52 weeks. But yeah, you shouldn't have at least a quarter of your schedule be garbage.
A quarter?
Okay.
I thought you were gonna say a quarter of your schedule be good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's a fair enough point with how things have been. I think it might be a little bit more than a quarter, but it has definitely not been a banner. It was not a banner 2021 for the WWE and the creative department.
Profit-wise, it was, but...
Yeah.
I'm going to go on a limb right here and say they better be getting... If Jade Cargill is supposed to win this match, they need to get in Aubrey Edwards' ear and be like, hey, switch it up. Ruby Soho's going over. Oof.
Oh, yeah. I'm just going to say that I'm sticking to my earlier opinion of great package. I would be surprised if she is not great at some point, but Jade Cargill still needs some work.
Yes. This has been pretty
rough,
man.
That I am leaving it at that. And Ruby Soho has been a finished in-ring product for quite some time at this juncture.
Yeah. I want to stick with the show until this match is over, but I don't know. It's like, I don't know. These two aren't gelling in the ring at all, dude. I mean,
oh,
this isn't good. And it's like when we were talking about WWE's women's division just getting decimated. Well, AEW's has gotten better. Well, Impact's has gotten a little worse because Sue Young is gone, or is going to be gone because she's pregnant.
Oh,
so
yeah. The women's division is still pretty, is not the best in AEW still.
No, a lot of talent, but not a lot of ready-made talent or ready-to-go talent.
Yeah, as much as I make fun of the depth on WWE, like, I think they could pull it off if they wrote the characters correctly.
Yeah, no, it's a big ask, man.
Yeah. I am 100% not expecting that to happen. But 20 people, honestly, between two shows should be enough to get you at least two women... Well, three women's segments on Raw and two on SmackDown, at least. Yeah. Like, 20 women is enough to kind of get that type of screen time for. If that's what your goal really is yeah. a little bit more diversification of your superstars.
Well, did you hear about the angle with Su Young on Impact this week? Or last week?
No.
Because she's like, she's also the, oh my god, I forgot her other name. It's Su Young, and who's the undead version of her?
Oh.
Shit.
Bride of Chucky.
Her. And they announced, like, to the other undead brides that she's pregnant yet. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, wait, what? So, I don't know if she's going to stay on TV or what's going on there, but...
That sucks. They do enough surreal angles with Su Young / the undead bride / whoever else is there that the pregnancy almost fits in as normal.
That's true. That's true. I mean, Taya Valkyrie's in jail because she tried to kill her. Kill. Not Daphne. Big mistake there.
Well, James Storm still hasn't been arrested for trying to kill Mickey James, so.
Well, didn't he kill her in storyline? Because she never appeared again, right? Until, I guess she does now.
Yeah, she did later.
Yeah, but Taya Valkyrie is in jail because she tried to kill him. So, kill some guy. That's how they wrote her off. So, she can come back, which I think is actually a pretty creative way of doing it, because she's like, yeah, I got on a bill.
It is a very soap opera way to get written off a TV show.
Dude, I can't tell you how much this fucking match stinks. And she won. Oh my god. Oh my god.
Oh, I didn't see it, but honestly, the crowd, AEW's crowds have been great. They look dead for this match.
Well, when she got on the corner to do like the glam slam, and as she tried going to the top rope, that crowd was like, no, please don't do that, please don't do that. And then she hit the awful second rope one. Ugh. And again, this is nothing against her other than her talent level is not good. Like, she's not there, but here we go.
Wow. So, that,
this would be great if there was, like, a new wrestler came out. You know? Well, I don't know. Are there any women that can come out yet? You know?
To confront her? Already?
Yeah. Like, just in case, like, the no compete clause is over. That's what I meant.
I don't know. I don't know who'd be out there. Because didn't Athena just mention the 30 days or something like that?
Yeah.
She's almost, you know, it's another one of those ones where they let so many people go. I don't completely know what the timeline is and who's available when until they announce that they're getting ready to come back.
Yeah.
Are you sure, sir? Okay. That is Kat's take on professional wrestling.
Yeah, well, you know. But, yeah, I'm... Good boy. So... That's
yep.
a rough business. That's a mistake, but whatever. Their company, let them deal with it. So, but, yeah. No, there's some intrigue going on in wrestling. I was actually talking to Eric about it. Like, about Impact. Like, they've got a lot of talent there, and there's a lot of people they can pick up now. So, you know, Access or Anthem, whoever, has restarted the relationship with New Japan. So, New Japan's going to be on Access TV again. So, that's pretty sweet.
That was one where I'm like, oh, I have been out on... Because, what, Wrestle Kingdom was the last 2 days?
Yeah, I know Okada won, but I don't know if he beat Ospreay or not today.
Yes, he did.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, but that is a product that has been moved aside
Yeah.
to fit the AEW viewing.
Well, it's also moved aside because of the pandemic. I mean, they shut down for a while.
Oh, yeah, they
You
did
know,
shut
and they
down
weren't
for a
doing
while.
matches. Or they were doing like empty stuff, and it's like, okay. So even like my enjoyment of NXT UK has gone down because of the whole pandemic stuff.
Oh.
I mean, they were legit shut down for 6 months. So, you
Yeah.
get kind of
It's
out of it.
it's hard to restart that momentum. 'Cause I mean, I've had the same thing with it's been hard trying to find time for the indie wrestling. Like I still have a subscription to IWTV. But I've had a hard time trying to slip in the AIW stuff recently.
Yeah. Well, hell, I just saw today NWA announced they're coming back to YouTube. They're putting the shows on YouTube for free again.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, okay, good. You need to. I thought that was a giant mistake going to Fight TV by itself. It killed the interest in it.
Oh.
And so hopefully they can get some of it back now.
Yeah, I've heard a lot less people talking about it since it moved over.
Well, a lot of their problem also is a lot of their people are in WWE or AEW now. I mean, Colt was there,
Oh.
Ricky Starks, LA Knight was there. Now he's in, or Eli Drake, now LA Knight.
Oh, yeah.
Thunder Rosa.
Oof,
I'm missing
yeah.
some other people, but.
That's a lot of people to be missing.
Yeah. Chewy Hart comes out with a black eye patch. That's hilarious. It's always the small, subtle things in these shows that crack me up. It's so stupid. She had the mist in her eye, and she's got a black eye patch. Come on.
It kills me that my feed is always the solid minute behind yours.
I can't wait for you to see it. It's just so goofy looking. And I'm trying to figure out if she's gonna be the one that was under the hood, and she's gonna turn on Flying Brian here, or if they're actually gonna introduce Brody King. Because all those ROH guys are now free agents, and he signed with AEW. So,
Oh.
and he said you're more than a king to whoever was under the hood. So,
Oh.
I mean, and the gimmicks flesh together perfectly, or the looks flesh together perfectly. Malachi
Yeah.
and Brody King. I mean, Jesus.
Yeah, I love it. Brody King's work in ROH was a lot of fun. Like, that was one of the few reasons why I did like to still tune in to ROH.
Oh, dude, when we saw him at the ROH shows, he's a big man. Like,
Oh.
big. So, like, not even for like an ROH guy. Like, cause, oh no, he was at the New Japan show we went to as well. Oh,
Oh,
and by the
okay.
way, I love this. I get updates from Eventbrite, and like, hey, New Japan Wrestling coming back. And I'm like, awesome, to Tampa, Florida. I'm like, what the hell are you sending this to me for? See,
Yeah, I
WrestleMania is in Dallas. It's not even in Florida. So why the hell would I be going there?
Oh, I like when I get heads up like that too. It's just like, oh, this band is coming to Cleveland, and I'm just like, fuck off.
Yeah.
That is too far away to go to concert.
Oh yeah. But yeah, so I don't know. It's nice to be back in the saddle watching wrestling again.
Oh.
Because to be frank, I got out of it because like WWE's been garbage this year. There's been hits and misses, but like, and even this round of layoffs, it's like. It sucks. There's no way around it. And it's like, but how do you balance it between like the corporate stuff and the story stuff? when both suck, it's very easy to hate it. But when you've got stuff you're actually intrigued by, it makes it a little less, a little less damning for me.
Oh.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Kind of a selfish outlook, I think, but it is what it is. So.
Yeah, that's what happens when you talk about a company for 13 years or whatever the fuck it's been now.
Yeah, and follow them since God knows when.
Yeah.
So.
It's not all going to be top of the hill stuff.
No, it hardly is, it seems. So,
okey-dokey.
We gotta go. But don't you wish sometimes we didn't know anything about it? We just watched.
Do
you think our enjoyment would be better, or would we go to hell with this garbage?
Nah, like I still think like it's kind of one of those things that. Yeah, sometimes you just enjoy stuff that maybe does not have the most inherent logic. And, you know, yeah. And it's just like, I feel like in the universes that are enjoyable all the time, they kind of keep the gimmick going the whole time. But wrestling has a bad habit of not keeping the gimmick going, even though it's all about keeping the gimmick going.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they always try to compare themselves to TV, movies, whatever else, but it's like, alright, but in the context of the movie, you don't, you know, Jennifer Aniston's not yelling, "Hey, my name's Jennifer," in the middle of a scene.
And she's not pretending like she's whatever that character is when she's out in public.
Yeah.
She's just Jennifer Aniston. It's just
yeah,
like,
it's so. Which, by the way, I think most people actually like her friend's character more, but.
I've definitely seen a lot of tabloids about her.
Well, yeah, that's what an easy. Speaking of gross journalism, what an easy job that has to be. You just buy pictures that everybody else took and just make up shit and go, well, according to our sources, because you don't have to give your. Well, you can.
Yep, so I am not going to delve into Miss Aniston's personal affairs.
Yeah, because I don't care.
Oh, I could not give
less.
Yes. Yep.
Any of these people. So, whatever. Just make a movie I like and shut up. Although tabloids is not them. That's them getting basically... You know, harassed, but
yeah, that stuff does not sound good.
Yeah, I can't believe how much offense Pillman Jr. is getting. Huh. All right, we can get out of here. This match is gonna take forever. So.
Okie dokie. Out of the old beer fridge in the middle of the show, Oscar Blues Can O Bliss IPA, hazy IPA. It's solid. I'm always a little bit surprised that my brother-in-law does not get me beers that are actually brewed in Dayton. but he got this for me for the recent job change, and hey, I am never going to argue with free beer.
That's an hour drive for us. So they've got a brewery outside of Asheville.
Oh, so. Yeah. So I do think that Oscar didn't even think about that. This is one of the few beers that I probably talk about that the majority of the listening audience could get to.
Oh, here we go. Before we cut out, here come the Lucha Brothers.
We did get to the end of this Aleister Black match. I was a little bit surprised. I'm like, oh, they are going to drag this out too much. Because I do think that Black dismantled him fairly enough. Like, they didn't completely job out Pillman Jr. But, yeah, that was a pretty... Aleister, I keep on wanting to call him Aleister still. Malachi Black.
I think I'm going to call him Aleister Black, too. Now that you mention it.
But, Yeah, Malachi's been put over pretty strong. Like, he hasn't been up for championship contention yet, but he can certainly make his case for it.
Sorry, they went to Britt Baker, so it's always the best. I can't wait to see her wrestle finally in person, so.
Oh, yeah, so.
Yep. All right, let's get the hell out of here. There's a whole lot of nothing.
Okie doke. That was the Bell Time Beer. Yes. At DeFrango11, at Granny Maze, at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us wherever the fuck you want to, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.